This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Living Greener, One Decision at a Time. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of people are trying to reduce their meat consumption as part of greener living, but they end up missing the flavor and texture of meat. About 10 years ago, Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods started selling plant-based products that promise to look, sizzle, and taste like meat, but with a much smaller environmental footprint. It was supposed to be a far cry from the black bean veggie burgers that came before.
The future of food looks like this. It's a new operation run by a company called Impossible Foods.
Beyond Meat is a US vegan startup seeking to redefine meat by making it synthetically from plants.
Bill Gates and the guys who started Twitter, they're already sold, and they are betting millions that this could change the world.
But now, sales of those products are falling, and both companies have laid off workers. So what's the future of these products, and what do consumers really want? Alan Yu looked into it.
Hey there, how you doing?
Hey guys, would you like to try a sample?
I'm by the entrance of a Whole Foods market just outside Philadelphia. Jonah Goldman and his colleague are enthusiastically trying to talk to anyone who walks through the door. He has two trays of plant-based deep-fried nuggets that he's giving out.
We have one plant-based nugget that is a gluten and soy base, and the other is a mushroom base.
He's trying to do some market research and promote his restaurant, which is downstairs in the grocery store. It's called Plant Burger.
They just do their shopping up here. They have their routine. There's like a sign outside that says Plant Burger downstairs, but no one like pays attention to that or knows what that means. So it is incumbent upon us now to really put ourselves in front of people.
Jonah and his business partners started in the Washington, D.C. area and came to this location in southeastern Pennsylvania 4 years ago. Their pitch is that this is fast food that looks and tastes like the chicken nuggets and cheeseburgers that meat eaters know and love, just without the health and environmental concerns of eating mass-produced meat. I went inside their kitchen, and it looks just like any other burger place. Large flat-top grill, sizzling burgers, toasted buns, with a few tweaks.
Plant Burger, or Planet Burger, is a elevated fast food concept that we launched back in September of 2019 with a mission to spread joy through the world through delicious people and planet-friendly fast food options.
Jonah has been a vegan since he was 10, when he learned about factory farming practices. But he knows not everyone is vegan or vegetarian, so he has to appeal to a broader customer base to really make a change.
Most of the people in the organization are not plant-based eaters, and our target audience is omnivores. Vegan / plant-based eaters comprise around 5% of the overall population. So if we're only serving them, or if we're primarily serving them, then we just won't exist as a restaurant.
Case in point is Ronnie McDaniels. He started working in the Plant Burger Kitchen in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania 3 years ago. He's now the regional manager of both locations.
All my family, my kids, especially my kids, they come here often. My grandkids love the dippers, love the nuggets.
Ronnie says Plant Burger has replaced McDonald's in the minds of his grandchildren. Jonah says their sales pitch is working. Their company is making a profit and now has several locations along the East Coast. They use Beyond Meat as the ingredient for their burgers, but that company, Beyond Meat, is not doing so well. Neither is Impossible Foods. McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Panda Express made headlines when they introduced plant-based meat options, but those menu items did not last. These products are also not as popular in grocery stores as the companies had hoped. When Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods first hit the shelves, people were excited about them to give them a shot. But not that many customers came back for seconds, says Billy Roberts, a longtime analyst of the food market.
Consumers did give them a try. I think they did find them lacking. I've seen a lot of consumer research where it basically explained they fell short in taste and flavor and texture. And frankly, it may take something fairly significant to get them to retry those products.
Grocery store sales of Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods products have dropped. Billy says that when it comes to food, most consumers choose based on price and taste. And Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods certainly made big strides in that area, compared to veggie burgers that came before, which did not taste or feel anything like actual meat. But he says plant-based meat is still not quite there yet.
It's definitely a category that has had its chance for strong growth. And I think it's going to take something in the future similar to those profound advances that we saw from Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger, 10 years ago, for it really to have another trial period.
Food journalist Chloe Sorvino says it wasn't only the quality of the products that was an issue. It was that these companies were trying to do too much too fast.
They were looking at salmon bites. They were doing chicken. They were doing hot dogs. They were doing steak. They were doing burgers.
Chloe leads food, drink, and agriculture coverage at Forbes magazine. She recently wrote a book called Raw Deal: Hidden Corruption, Corporate Greed, and the Fight for the Future of Meat. She says many plant-based meat companies were unsustainably attracting a frenzy from investors and advocates without a widely popular product.
These businesses really never had enough of a strong foundation to begin with. And even early data showed that when consumers were purchasing these products at grocery stores, they often weren't buying them again.
She says a lot of the early investments came from people who had not invested in the food market before and did not understand how much harder it would be to sell a new burger versus a new gadget.
At the end of the day, this consumer base really just wasn't there. And it was a combination of some of the original marketing, some of the products maybe being a little too early to launch.
She says some of the products have improved.
Some of the second, third, fourth generations of these products are far better, far healthier, far less processed, far more sustainable.
And now the challenge is to get people to try them again. Matt Rafferty was able to attract a loyal customer base when he opened a vegan food truck in Philadelphia 4 years ago called Algorithm Food Truck. It was really popular. Philadelphia Magazine put them on their best of list in 2021.
And I'm not talking about vegan food trucks. They put us as the best food truck.
Matt decided to expand, to open a sit-down restaurant around a year ago. But his restaurant just closed. He says he just could not attract enough meat-eating customers for casual, lower-priced vegan food.
We're in a very niche market, and it's very hard to promote to people that are not vegan and looking for it. That's been a challenge.
Matt will now go back to running the food truck, which has much lower overhead costs. Across state lines in New Jersey, Brenna Lambert has found success with her vegan restaurant called Lesby Veggies among a meat-eating crowd in South Jersey.
I'd say maybe 80% of our customers aren't vegan. We have people that are like 80 plus that come in here with their, I don't know, church friends. And then we have people who are like 17, 18 that come in with their friends, couples, families from all over.
Her restaurant is known for their meatballs made with Beyond Meat and tacos that are made with slowly stewed jackfruit instead of pork. Brenna thinks of her restaurant not as a vegan restaurant, but a place that vegans can take their meat-eating friends to and everyone can have a good time.
They can have a Beyond Meatball, and it doesn't have to 100% resemble a meatball, because it's not, but it's going to taste good, and you're not going to feel like you're eating like lentils with flour.
And so far, she's succeeding. She says they are packed on the weekends. She's thinking about buying the empty property next door so they can expand. So what is the future of plant-based meat? Emma Ignashevsky says it's too soon to tell. These products are still at the start of their story. Emma is the Associate Director of Industry Intelligence at the Good Food Institute, a think tank that promotes plant-based food. Emma says the plant-based meat market could take some lessons from the plant-based milk market. It took a while to get here, but now you see grocery stores and coffee shops offer soy milk and oat milk and almond milk alongside milk from cows. And no one questions whether those products will appeal to hardcore milk fans or not.
Plant-based milk became big once it was shelved in the milk aisle, right, in the refrigerated door. That's where it became visible and accessible to the mainstream consumer who's buying their milk in that area already.
She says the consumers who are growing up right now will make different choices than the people who came before them.
We're seeing younger generations like Gen Z and millennials come into their purchasing power. And these generations are over-indexed. They're more likely to report caring about or making consumer decisions based on sustainability issues.
And some big companies continue to bet on the change. In March, Oscar Mayer announced that they will soon sell vegan hot dogs.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.